You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast, Thursday's edition. I'm your boy Q, at your boy Q254 on Twitter. As always, you know you can hit me up that way. And of course, you can always hit me up on that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line at 707-654-4693. Today on the episode, I got a lot of calls that I want to get to. I've been telling you about it all week long that I've been having a lot of calls left in the voicemail, and I definitely want to roll those calls out there. So you're going to hear a lot of calls on today's episode. Matter of fact, segment number three, segment number two, and even a couple calls here in segment number one I'm going to get to. So like I said, a lot of phone call heavy information, a lot of phone call heavy podcast today, but that's just how we're going to get down. I want to make sure I get all these calls. Got a lot of great calls. I want to make sure I roll them out and you get your chance to hear them, and you also get your chance to be heard. Before I get into the calls, biggest news and notes surrounding the silver and black is the fact that no Raiders made the Pro Bowl, no Rodney Hudson, no Jared Cook. Personally, I don't think anyone else really deserved a spot, but yeah, no Rodney Hudson, no Jared Cook. And I know that Cook and Hudson and KO, they've been named alternates for the Pro Bowl, but whatever. I mean, straight up, KO doesn't deserve to be in a Pro Bowl, period. He don't deserve to be an alternate. He don't deserve to be whatever in the game at all. So I don't even know why they put him in there. Rodney Hudson, he deserves to be in the game. And Jared Cook deserved to be in the game. Those two dudes have busted their tails off. Rodney Hudson is one of the best centers in the league. There's only 32 starting centers. He is one of the best in the league. Probably the top three. Probably top two, just for the sake of argument. Let's say top two. He's up there, and he should be in the Pro Bowl. But again, whatever. I'm not going to get all up in arms about the Pro Bowl because, one, I never watched the game. Don't really care about it. So it doesn't affect me. It doesn't bother me personally. But I will say, a lot of these guys, they actually have incentives in their contracts. And I know Jared Cook and Rodney Hudson both lost out on some pretty good money. One of them was like $100,000 and another one was like $250,000. And in the grand scheme of things, compared to what they make, it might be nothing. But $100,000 is still $100,000. $250,000 is still $250,000. It's not, you know, it's not a drop in the bucket. So for them to miss out on that kind of money when they deserve to get it, that's a shame. Also, it's also a nice feather in the cap to have when you go into contract negotiations because, hey, this guy was a 7-time Pro Bowler, a 6-time Pro Bowler, or a 1st-time Pro Bowler. And Jared Cook, he would have actually been a 1st-time Pro Bowler. Again, he's an alternate, so most likely he will get into the game because what happens is these guys that are still playing and are in the playoffs, they're going to be the ones that don't go. You know, not all of them, but the guys that go like to the Super Bowl. Whoever goes to the Super Bowl. So say the Chiefs make it to the Super Bowl. Travis Kelce ain't going to be playing in the Pro Bowl, so that'll be his spot, so he'll be gone. Maybe Eric Ebron will get injured. He's always injured, and he's the one who, it was Eric Ebron, Travis Kelce, and that's, yeah, those are the two guys that made the Pro Bowl. Kelce, I totally get it. Eric Ebron, yeah, he's done well with Andrew Luck this season. I get that, but still, I don't think he's had quite the season that Jared Cook has had, and I know the difference is the Raiders have 3 wins when the Colts have like 7. So again, winning has a lot to do with it as well. So I'm not up in arms about it. I'm not all upset about it. The fact is these guys miss out on money if they don't make the Pro Bowl. And again, like I said, it hurts them in contract negotiations because you want to have that little asterisk next to your name as, oh yeah, this guy was a multi-time Pro Bowler, or at least this guy made the Pro Bowler in 2018. You know what I'm saying? So that's why that really matters. That was some of the bit of news. And then also the fact that Nathan Peterman, yeah, that Nathan Peterman, the guy who threw 5 interceptions in 1.5 against the Chargers in 2017, a guy who's thrown more interceptions than he has touchdown passes in his short NFL career, yeah, the Raiders signed him. And at first, I was on the show. I was on my show on ESPN Central Texas when this news broke, and all of a sudden, I lost my mind. Oh my goodness. Hell in a handbasket. You know what I'm saying? Like, I totally lost it. I flipped out. But then I realized that it was just for the practice squad, and he was signing with the practice squad. So then I kind of realized, like, okay, it's not a big deal. I'm not going to lose my mind. That's fine. That dude will probably never see the field. I mean, if you think about it, Christian Hackenberg was on the team at one time in the offseason. Remember that? Yeah, he never saw the field. He didn't even last on the roster a month, and then he was out of there. Now, if for some reason, and I know John Gruden likes Nathan Peterman, I know he talked real highly about him when he was an ESPN analyst. Now, for some reason, if he ends up getting onto the active roster, then we're going to have a problem. Then I'm going to really be upset, because there is no reason Nathan Peterman should be on an active roster ever. I'm just saying, that dude does not deserve to be in the league. That dude deserves to be out of the league. He is terrible. He is a turnover machine. He is a interception machine. Look, let's put it like this. I was talking the other day about how Derek Carr's only thrown 8 interceptions this season. Nathan Peterman threw like 8 interceptions in like 2 games. In like 2 games. And he's only played in like 3. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, that dude has so many interceptions to his name. Again, 5.5 of football when the Bills decided to start him against the Chargers in 2017. 5.5. In one half. Man. So, yeah, I'm not going to get up in arms about that. And I know I'm probably talking about it more than I need to. But Nathan Peterman is signed to the Raiders, but he's a member of the practice squad. So, again, until he's a member of the real deal roster, I'm not going to flip out about it. Again, I don't think he'll even make the team. I don't think he'll be on the team very long. I think Gruden will get him in practice and kind of see what he is and realize that he doesn't have anything there, and he'll end up releasing him. But so for right now, he's just a warm body as far as I'm concerned. So that's what it is with the news and notes surrounding the Oakland Raiders. Nothing too major. Of course, the Pro Bowl snubs for Rodney Hudson and Jared Cook. KO, like I mentioned, doesn't deserve to be there anyway, so I don't care. But besides that, Nate Peterman signed to the practice squad of the Raiders, and that's where it is. So let me get to some of these calls. Like I said, man, we're going to go fast and furious with them because we got some real good stuff. 707-654-4693. That is the number. My man, Most Known Unknown in Philly. He's a crowd favorite right now. He's a crowd favorite, so he's got a good call, man. He's actually having a PSA or a call to arm about the way the media is taking shots at the Raiders, and he just doesn't like the way that it's dividing Raider Nation, the fan base. So check this out.
Hey, Q. Most Known Unknown. Listen, I was doing some deep thinking, and I really need a call to arms for Raider Nation. You know, it seems like right now the Raiders and Raiders fans seem to be the whipping boy of every news media outlet, every other fan base. Every time I turn around, somebody's taking a shot at the Raiders or somebody in Raider Nation. Khalil Mack gets a sack. All of a sudden, ESPN and NFL Network is tweeting out his stats versus the Raiders' stats. Just trying to pour salt in the open room. Every time Amari Cooper catches a first down or a touchdown, they got to tweet out him and something relating to Raiders. All these stories about Mark Davis, John Gruden, Skip and Shannon on their trash show. Every chance they get, taking a shot at the Raiders and John Gruden. Stephen A. and Max Kellerman, every chance they get, taking a shot on their trash station. Bucky Brooks. So many people on NFL Network just trashing John Gruden, trashing the Raiders, trashing us. Even members of the so-called media out in the Bay Area, like Joe Fortenbaugh and Peter Kurtenbaugh and John Middlecoff. Every chance they get, everybody's taking shots at the Raiders. We seem to be the whipping boys right now, and it's causing a lot of infighting amongst Raider Nation. So I need you to help me, man. We need a call to arms. Let's stop all this bickering amongst ourselves. I'm tired of arguing with all these trash reporters on Twitter, and I don't even follow them. Most of the time it's because somebody that I follow retweeted it. We really need to stick together, man. And a lot of the calls, there's a lot of conflicting opinions, whether it's Reggie McKenzie, John Gruden, Derek Carr, whatever. We need to dead all that because it's the outside noise that's causing us to bicker amongst ourselves. What we need you to do, Q, to be the leader, call us to arms. Galvanize us as Raider Nation. We need to stick together. We really do. We need to close ranks. And people, if you don't know what close ranks means, I encourage you to look it up. It's a military term. But all these outside attacks that we're facing right now, we need to close ranks, and we need to stick together because it's Raider Nation till we die. From Oakland hurts a lot of fans in the Bay Area, but look at it on the positive side. The Raiders will have something that they've never had before, which is a state-of-the-art stadium. Now, my brother-in-law, who's from Orange County, he lives out here with me. He's a Raiders fan, lifelong. I was born and raised in Philadelphia, lifelong Raiders fan. We plan on flying out there and turning that thing out in 2020. But until we get there, man, we just got to close ranks and stick together and defend off all these attacks, man. Seriously. Q, I'm counting on you to be at the forefront of that. Raider Nation, till we die, let's stand up. Let's stand up and fight back.
All right, great call right there from the most known unknown. He wants me to be the leader of the movement to make sure that all the fans in Raider Nation basically stick together. And, you know, that's kind of what we've been doing on this podcast anyway. We've been throwing things out there, and we kind of just come together or come to an agreement or a disagreement or, you know, just have this healthy conversation. I mean, that's what this whole thing is for. That's what this whole platform is for. And this is kind of the, you know, how I've been rolling with this podcast, and I think that it's been really good, especially going through a terrible season like this when everyone in the national media, anyone who gets an opportunity to try to bash the Raiders, they do. And, look, I get people firing shots at me all the time too, and it's all good. I mean, I'm not worried about it at all, but you know, he called out many members of the national media, the local media, even there in the Bay Area, causing issues. And, you know, John Middlecoff, you guys have already heard me many times on this podcast talk about that dude. And I don't like to just take shots at dudes in the media, because I understand that that's not an easy job. It's a very tough job, and, you know, they're there for a reason. They've made it for a reason. But that dude, you already know, he irks me. So he just acts so childish, you know, when it comes to the Raiders. And I just am like, John, just get over it. It's going to be okay, dog. But, you know, he just feels like because he can go on some Periscope or he can go on some podcast and yell and scream and cuss at people and tell them this and that and tell them they're idiots. And, you know what I mean? That he's got to be right about everything. And those kind of guys just drive me crazy. You could call me and say, hey, Q, I disagree with something, and I'm going to hear you out, regardless if I ever agree with you or not. I'm going to hear you out and then say, okay, that's cool, that's valid or whatever. But this dude just thinks he's the end-all be-all. So I totally understand what you're saying. And yeah, Raider Nation does need to stick together, man. You know, just I understand the whole stadium situation has the fan base kind of split. A lot of folks are pointing blame at the Raiders. Some folks point blame at the city. Obviously, it's both parties' faults. In my opinion, it takes two to tango and it takes two not to tango. You know what I'm saying? Like, one side can't come to the party and say, hey, we're going to get this stadium thing done. And if the other party don't show up, then it's not going to work. But I think that there was issues on both sides. So that's a major issue on why the fan base is split. Derek Carr, something we've talked about on this podcast, he's another reason why the fan base is kind of split. It's crazy, man. It's just crazy, the situations and what can split and divide a fan base. But again, ultimately, what is splitting the fan base the most is those three wins and the fact that there's only three wins and everything that has gone on for the Raiders to get to those three wins. John Gruden is the Antichrist to some people. Some people can't stand him. Some people think, oh, he's a genius, he's going to get everything solved. Now, if he came in 2018 and won 12 games and they're in the playoffs right now or on their way to the playoffs, there wouldn't be no divide in Raider Nation. Nobody would be upset about anything. Derek Carr would be a G. John Gruden's a genius. Mark Davis is a great owner. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything would be fine. Ultimately, winning cures everything. And right now, the Raiders aren't winning, and they're not going to be winning this year. We already know. 3-11 and have a game coming up on Monday. We already know. So there's a lot of issues, man. But it is what it is, and we just have to stick together as fans and, you know, still root on the silver and black. We all root for the same guys, the guys that wear the Raiders helmets, right? That's what we do. So most known unknown in Philly is absolutely right, and if I could be the leader of that, and if people want to look to me as the leader of the charge and kind of keeping Raider Nation together, hey, man, I'll ride with that. I'll ride with that and roll with that badge as an honor. Absolutely will. I got Raider Nation tatted on my back for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Before I did anything like this, I was just another dude standing in the crowd at the Coliseum cheering on my favorite team. So I can ride like that. Most known unknown, I'm down with you, man. You want to ride together? You be my best man. That sounded kind of weird. Not best man. How about you, my right-hand man? There you go. We don't want no weird stuff, no funny stuff. I know it's 2018, but no funny stuff. So anyway, that's what I'm talking about. Great call right there from the most known unknown. I would get to another call right now, but I think that I'm running a little bit late in this segment, so I'll get to it on the other side. My man Lorenzo in Colorado, he's got a call about the game. I'm going to get to that to start off segment number two. And before I get into that, I got to tell you about DraftKings, and we already know on Monday, big game, Raiders, Broncos, Oakland Coliseum. If you've ever been thinking about trying DraftKings, now is the time. DraftKings is taking fantasy football from just 1 week to just one game, making it easier to draft your lineup. So check this out. This is what you do. Draft six players from the Broncos-Raiders game, one captain and five other players. You could pick Daniel Carlson. You can go with Jared Cook. It really doesn't matter, but your captain will earn 1.5 times the points. It's that simple. Six players from one game. Just stay under the salary cap and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Go to DraftKings.com or download the app now. Use code LOCKEDON to enter a single game fantasy football contest for free this week with your first deposit and compete for your share of over $1 million in total prizes. That's code Locked On, only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Like I said, starting off segment number two, Lorenzo in Colorado. His call off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
All right, here we are, Raider Nation, back at it. Segment number two of the Locked On Raider podcast on this Thursday. Your boy Q about to take some calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Told you I was going to get things kicked off with my man Lorenzo in Colorado. He ain't called in a while, but he's calling again because obviously the game is Monday. The Broncos, he's in Colorado. He's calling about the game. He's explaining why he wants this win on Monday night more than anything else. Yeah, here's Lorenzo from Colorado.
Q, this is Lorenzo in Colorado. I haven't called in a long time, but it's Raider Bronco week, probably last game in Oakland. I'm just calling to say I've noticed that you got a lot of callers from Colorado. They're Raiders fans, and even though they're losing and even though we're in the middle of behind enemy lines, you still see that Raider stuff out here, so I'm proud of that. But what I did want to call about is I want that dub more than anything in the world right now, more than Christmas, anything. Because if you ain't from Colorado and you don't know how it is out here, the Broncos are like worshipped out here. And I'd love nothing more than for the Raiders to beat the Broncos their last game in the Coliseum. I would hate for the last game in the Coliseum to be a loss to Denver. Like I said, I don't know if you're from Colorado, if you know about Bronco fans really, but they are out of hand. They are delusional. They still think they are like Super Bowl contenders. It's crazy. I don't even know how to explain it. But I got a lot of friends that are Bronco fans, and I hate it. I hate having to listen to them. So it would mean nothing in the world would mean more to me than them beating Denver that last game in Oakland. One more thing, last thing I want to talk about, I know I'm going long here, is I love how you supported Derek Carr on the Tuesday podcast because he is a playmaker. He is our franchise quarterback, and I've said it all year. I hit you up on Twitter, but he is the franchise quarterback. He's doing this stuff with Aikman, with these receivers we don't even know, that tight end that ran the ball the other day. I love the Raiders, and I follow the draft and everything. I didn't even know who that dude was. So they're making plays, even with just this terrible team around them trying to tank. Derek Carr hasn't thrown an interception in weeks. I mean, we put some playmakers around him, get the right people around him. He's a stud. And you can't do nothing if you only have 2 seconds to throw the ball. And I don't care if that's Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady behind that. Nobody can throw the ball with 2 seconds. With two guards that like got picked up off the street that wouldn't even make a roster on another team. So we got to think about all that. And I just wanted to say one last time, come on Raiders in Oakland, last game against Denver. Let's get it. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Great call right there from Lorenzo. And hey man, for multiple reasons, a lot of those that you just laid out there. No, I'm not from Colorado. No, I ain't never been to Colorado, but I can only imagine. So yeah, man, I want this win, not only for you, but I want it for the whole Raider Nation. Plus to mention, just in case the Coliseum is shut down and the Raiders don't ever grace the Coliseum again, they needed to shut that bad boy down with a win. I'm just saying, there's no other options. It's just win, baby. There's nothing else they could do. Now, I got a call here from my man P.E. in North Carolina. Now I got a call from my man P.E. in North Carolina, and I mentioned it on Wednesday's show that I was definitely going to get to this one because this is a hell of a call. One hell of a call, talking about a lot of things he'd heard on different shows, different podcasts, even including this one, talking about the fan base bashing Tom Cable on the O-line and where the blame should really fall. Great stuff right here from P.E. in North Carolina. Check it out.
Hey, what's going on, Q? P.E. from North Carolina calling. Hey, man, I've been hearing a lot of Tom Cable talk lately. On various shows and podcasts and stuff. I want to know why as a fan base, why are we bashing Tom Cable? I mean, the way we're bashing him. Granted, he may not be the best coach, but, I mean, look at what he's working with. It seems like as a fan base, Raider Nation, it's like we want to give passes to people whoever they choose, you know, to get the pass, and then other people don't get a pass. Like, Cole Miller gets a pass, but Brandon Parker doesn't. Tom Cable doesn't get a pass, but Rich Bisaccia gets a pass. I mean, look, at the end of the day, Raider Nation, it seems like we want to find excuses for why we had the season that we had. And I said this at the beginning of the season, Q. I called in and I told you, it falls on one man's shoulders, you know, and it's all John Gruden. He's the one that pulled the trigger on Khalil Mack. He's the one that overdrafted Colton Miller, T.J. Hall, and Brandon Parker. Even if Tom Cable wanted Colton Miller, you don't reach that high for a player that's not worthy of that pick. Everybody knows that. But yeah, that's what Gruden done the first three times, the first three rounds, rather. I mean, so if y'all want to blame somebody, I mean, I don't think Tom Cable's a great coach either. I agree with that. But our offensive line has been one of the most injured units on our team this whole season. So nobody's saying we'll give him a pass because he has so many injuries. But at the same time, we want to give the other person a pass. For what reason? I mean, I'm telling you, if you want to look at the problem is John Gruden and his arrogance. His arrogance doomed this team from the beginning. His arrogance told him to trade Khalil Mack. His arrogance told him that he could start two rookie tackles and make it work. His arrogance told him that he could take his left tackle and move him to right tackle. That all falls on one man. You don't overdraft for a position of need. Everybody knows that, but yet he went and done it three times in a row. So don't blame, I mean, Tom Cable's not a good coach, but blame the guy that did it. Don't blame Cable. Gruden hired Cable. Gruden pulled the trigger on all these things. Mark Davis didn't trade Khalil Mack. John Gruden didn't come back to coach to let Mark Davis make all the calls and tell Gruden what to do. Be angry at the people that deserve for you to be angry at them. All right? Like I said, it's one man in charge. And his history hasn't been a good history as far as talent evaluation and drafting players. So, you know, if you want something to look forward to, Raider Nation, that's what you got to look forward to. Hope he gets better. Hope he can fix it. And hope he brings in somebody with a little bit more talent evaluation skills than himself and somebody that he will trust. Although I highly doubt that's going to happen. He's not going to bring somebody in to tell him what to do when he's the so-called GM and the head man in charge. Why would he bring in somebody that he has, you know, that he has to listen to, or he has to do what they say? So, I mean, as a Raider fan, I just hope he gets better. I hope we get lucky on some picks. But, you know, the track record speaks for itself. And, you know, I mean, I guess we just got to ride it out, man. He's got to, you know, he's got to become less arrogant, I guess. But anyway, man, I just wanted to get that out there, man. Peace out, Raider Nation.
All right, so there was P.E. right there. Why are we bashing Cable? Look what he's working with. Well, I will say, P.E., and I'm not trying to argue with you. You know you're my dude. But, as a matter of fact, I still owe you a beer at some point. I'm going to catch up with you one day, and we're going to have some beers together. Anyway, why we're bashing Cable is he's not very good. And you make the valid point of Gruden hired him, so that's on Gruden. Absolutely right. Mistakes can happen. Look, I have baby mamas. So, obviously, things didn't go right. Thought it was great at the time, but didn't work out. So, you had to split and move on, right? I think we've all been there. That's what happens with your ex. Have you ever had an ex that looked really good, and then you found out she was crazy? Just crazy? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's situations that happen all the time. We all, as people, make bad decisions. It's if we know how to recover from them. You know what I mean? Like, does John Gruden, can he make a break in the offseason to say, you know what? Tom Cable stinks. And if he does, then that says, okay, one, he made a mistake, and he made up for it. And he's like, all right, I got rid of him. And you talk about, what is Cable working with? Look what Cable worked with in Seattle. They gave him so much capital to try to fix that offensive line, and he was not able to do it. He's not a very good coach. Like you said yourself, you don't even like him. So I understand where you could put the blame on Gruden, and I'm not trying to apologize for Gruden because I do think it was a mistake. I didn't like it when they hired Cable or when he hired Cable. I just think that you got to give the guy a chance to make it right. And the way he can make it right is by firing him in the offseason, bringing someone else in that runs a power blocking scheme, and getting the guys to coach him up to block and be the dominant O-line that they once were. KO is not even full strength. He's not even full weight that he was when he was dominating with the Raiders. He had to lose 25 pounds just to fit in Tom Cable's scheme. That should have told you something right there. And that is why that's on John Gruden for hiring him, because, hey, you know, if these guys that you have as an offensive lineman that are really, really good, they don't fit your scheme, you probably shouldn't be the guy that's coaching them. Or if you do, you have to be able to learn to work with what you have. So, yes, it's John Gruden's fault for hiring him. The problem is, will he fire him? If he doesn't fire him, then it's all on him because he's just go ahead and throwing darts at the wall and continue doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result. And that is insanity. So I can't say that John Gruden is all bad for that. You know, Rich Bisaccia, you mentioned, why does he get a pass? He doesn't get a pass. Special teams has been horrible. We've talked about that on the podcast a few times. I know that you've called about it a few times on the podcast. And maybe you're not talking about my podcast that you've been hearing about it. Because I know you called and talked about Bisaccia. I know I've mentioned Bisaccia. Outside of Daniel Carlson, special teams has been terrible. I gave Dwayne Harris a pass because he's old. I didn't think he was terrible either. I think he did all right. But besides that, the special teams has been terrible. Johnny Townsend has been awful. That was a Gruden and company pick. Obviously, Gruden signs off on everything. Johnny Townsend needs to go. He's terrible. But Bisaccia needs to step his game up as well. But I don't think that he's gotten a pass. Colton Miller, I think most people gave him a pass just because he's been injured most of the season. But clearly, like you mentioned, he was a reach when the Raiders picked him, and I was at the draft, and I wanted him to grab Derwin James. Obviously, we see what Derwin James is doing with the Chargers, and we see what Colton Miller is doing with the Raiders. And if you saw the last game, and I know you did, you saw Colton Miller just give it up. He just gave up the booty. You know what I mean? Like he didn't even try to say no. It was like, hey, girl, give me some booty. Okay. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't even like, you didn't even have to tease him. You know what I mean? You didn't have to talk dirty to him or nothing. You just, all right, I'm down. You know what I mean? And Brandon Parker, yeah, big time reach. Big time reach. So, again, it does go back to John Gruden. So, I get what you're saying, but I'm just not going to sit here and say everything, you know, everything that is going wrong is all on Gruden because I think that, like he mentioned before, there's a ton of stuff going on in the background that none of us have any idea about. A ton of stuff that's gone on in the background. Mark Davis, he referred to it in Paul Gutierrez's piece when he was basically saying they offered Mac money. They offered him the most money in the league to be a defensive player, and he turned it down. And once Mark Davis realized that he wasn't able to come to the table and give the kind of money that Mac wanted, they had to move on from him. Mark Davis has been making a lot more football decisions than he ever led on to that he was going to. When he hired Reggie McKenzie, he said he didn't know football. He wasn't a football guy. He was going to leave that stuff alone. He has not left that stuff alone. He's the one who signed off on getting Jack Del Rio. He basically was the dude who brought in Jack Del Rio. He brought in John Gruden. You know what I mean? I mean, he signed off as well on Khalil Mack and probably was like, hey, John, I can't pay him, so what are we going to do? We got to do something. Joel Siegel represents Amari Cooper. That's why Cooper got traded. Because this same situation that the Raiders dealt with Khalil Mack, they were going to have to deal with Amari Cooper this summer. Do you want that again? So that's another reason. I've moved on from all that. Fine. I mean, I don't like it. I hate that Khalil Mack is dominating in Chicago. I wish he was doing it in Oakland. But if you add those 12 sacks to the Raiders' 12 sacks, or no, excuse me, 12 and a half sacks to the Raiders' 12 sacks, that's 24 and a half sacks. That would still be 29th in the league. 29th in the league as far as sacks go. DeNico Autry, kind of mad about that. He has 9 sacks with the Colts. Think about that. Let that guy walk. Nobody knew he was going to dominate like that. So sometimes, I mean, that's just how it shakes out. But again, I get what you're saying as far as Gruden, but I just wouldn't come down on him as hard as you are because, I mean, you're making it seem like he just, like, walked in there with a blowtorch and just said, we're burning this whole thing down. I don't think that was the initial plan. Again, we will never know the truth. There's 3 sides to every story. His side, her side, and the truth. We don't know. We're not going to know. Ever. And you can't take what you hear in the media at face value because you just don't know. I get what you're saying, though. But you have valid points, and I'm sure people will call about it, and hey, this is what this is for, 707-654-4693. I love how you, you know, laid it out there. I love, you know, all the points that you made. I just can't agree, like, 100% with you. I do say Gruden has, you know, final say and has to sign off on everything. I do agree with that. But at some point, there's certain things you can't do. You know, Khalil Mack sitting out all season this year would have done nothing for the Raiders on the field. Khalil Mack not being here? Well, you see how many holes that the Raiders really have. Derek Carr and Khalil Mack did a great job of disguising all the issues that the Raiders had in 2016. And that is another reason why we as fans are shell-shocked on why what's going on in 2018. Because we as fans were fooled and we believed that the Raiders were closer than they really were. Derek Carr had an MVP-type season in 2016. Khalil Mack was Defensive Player of the Year in 2016. Those two actually disguised a lot of the issues. I mean, the Raiders were still ranked like 30th in defense in 2016. I was surprised that Khalil Mack was even able to win Defensive Player of the Year, ranked that low in defense. But hey, you know, it is what it is. So again, PE, great thoughts, great, you know, great insight, everything, man. I always appreciate it. I just differ a little bit with what you're saying, but it's all good. 707-654-4693. Feel free to chime in, Raider Nation. If you're hearing PE's thoughts, we could have a whole segment on it. You know, it was good enough to have a whole segment on. We could talk about it anytime you want. Definitely hit up that Locked On Raider Podcast voicemail line. All right. Do I got time for one more? No. no, I don't. So, Mario in Tucson, Victor in Cali. Those two calls at least are coming up next in segment number 3. This is the Locked On Raider Podcast. By the way, I got to tell you about another sponsor of the Locked On Raider Podcast. That is Action Heat. Who is Action Heat? What is Action Heat? Action Heat makes the world's best battery heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. It's perfect for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, you know, skiers, snowboarders, or anybody that just loves the outdoors and hates being cold like I do. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heating jackets, socks, gloves, hats, even drawers. Heat-based layered shirts, long johns, they got it all. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. Action Heat is available in men's and women's and has great new styles and models just released for their winter season. Make winter activities more enjoyable with a blast of warmth. Action Heat is perfect solution to keep you toasty and warm, even in the most frigid winter weather. So right now, they got a special deal for all Locked On Raider Podcast listeners. Save 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or you can use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. Stay toasty and warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat, and thank you so much for sponsoring the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, one more segment for you, Raider Nation. Locked On Raiders Podcast, Thursday's edition. Your boy Q, at your boy Q254, or the way we're going about it in this show, 707-654-4693, better known as the Locked On Raider Podcast voicemail line. And like I mentioned, got a lot of calls to get to, so I'm going to stop talking and jump right into it. Mario in Tucson, he had quite a bit to say and started off talking about the game on Sunday versus the Bengals. He had a lot of quality points to bring up about the game. So here's Mario in Tucson. This is my guy.
Q, Mario in Tucson. What's up, brother? All right, so let me start here. First thing I want to say, I know a lot of people are upset with that game. You know what, I'm a little bit upset, too, after being on a high from beating the Steelers and whatnot. But, and for them to come and lay an egg, it is what it is. This is the end of the year. Things are kind of getting, you know, out of our control a little bit. And, you know, the injuries just seem to be piling up. So, with that said, I'd like to give Derek Carr a little credit. He played well, even after getting blasted like he's been doing, you know, these last couple games. Colton Miller's a rookie who's probably still dealing with some kind of injury, so I'm pretty sure I'm not going to blame that guy for not having the amount of technique and speed necessary to keep dudes off him, especially guys like that Cincinnati have. That's the best part of their defense. Also, I'd like to give some credit to, you know, all the guys that Derek Carr has to throw the ball to or hand it to. Those guys did well enough. Yeah, they didn't win us the game, but like I've been saying the past few weeks, I like to see improvement. And I'm seeing improvement with guys being a little bit more, you know, versed on how this playbook works and stuff like that. Yeah, Rashard dropped one. Yeah, Carr fumbled one. And I mean, Rashard fumbled one, too. But it is what it is. It's the end of the year. Guys, they might have their packs packed on it. And to be honest, the way the season went or how it started, I don't blame them. But they're showing a bit of fight out there. They're trying. That's all I've been wanting to see. I knew this year was lost. So let's just give these guys credit, and let's look at that draft. I don't know what kind of guys we're going to get or where our picks land, but at least we can get some new blood in there and try to get, you know, this team back on track. Other than that, that's all I got, Q. Have a good one, brother.
Good stuff right there from my dude Mario in Tucson. We actually exchange text messages throughout the game sometimes, so big ups to my dude. Appreciate you. Appreciate all your efforts, my man. Appreciate you supporting the podcast. And Victor in Cali, he calls the Locked On Raider podcast quite a bit. Well, he's addressing some of the calls that I had on Monday's podcast, starting off with Mayor Libby Schaff and also where they'll play in 2019.
Thank you, Victor. from Cali. Hey, I just wanted to address some of the calls from your Monday podcast. First off, shout out to Vader Raider, his call about Libby Schaaf and how they blew it. I think that's right in line with what I said on an earlier call. He's absolutely right. Like I said before, she's incompetent. They had all the time in the world to strike a deal, make something happen. It could have been done. There's plenty of money there. There's an airport there. You're still in the Bay Area. There's plenty of money to keep a football team. She just doesn't realize how important that is and how much her community, that community, the Oakland community, is going to lose by her incompetence and mishandling of the whole deal. And the Raiders did try for a long time. As far as where they're going to play next year, I think the thing that makes the most sense is probably Levi's Stadium. Mark Davis just needs to realize that. If not, San Diego. You know, we're talking 7 games. I'm in Southern California. I would not hate to see them in San Diego. That's always been a home game for the Raiders anyway. Raider fans will support that area. I am not a fan with some of the other suggestions of bouncing around other markets. I don't agree that's going to pick up any meaningful fan base. If they're not part of Raider Nation already, you know, the 7 home games that they would be in some new market, I don't think it's going to mean much. Most fans in the other areas are probably fans of the teams they're going to be fans of anyway. So anyway, that's all I got. My vote is for, you know, stay in the Bay Area or go down to San Diego. Thanks, Q. Peace out.
Great stuff right there from Victor in Cali. Let's keep this thing moving. Short and sweet call right here from my man Daryl in L.A. I haven't heard about him or haven't heard from him in a minute. He's talking about the team, where they could play in 2019, and how he will be in attendance Monday for what could be the final game ever in Oakland. He says something in that call, though. You got to hear it. He says something in the call that kind of caught me by surprise. Check it out. See what he says.
Huge, man. They're on LA. Let's be honest, man. It's right next year. This team isn't really, it's not winning. It's not going to win next year. So, you know, it'd be nice to say goodbye to the city of Oakland and the fans of Oakland the right way, but, man, if you just don't lose and do all this, just go. Just go. It's just making things worse. So, you know, San Antonio, why not? Maybe Reno. I hear Reno is nice. So, it'll be all right. Oof. I don't know. I'm going with my fam. We're going up Christmas Eve. We're going to go say goodbye, and it's going to be nice. All right, Raider Nation, I'm out.
All right, sure but sweet. Daryl in L.A. right there. And did you notice what he said? He wasn't one of those that was like, man, I don't want to see them leave. Man, this can't be the last game. He said, hey, they ain't going to win next year. They might as well go ahead and go. Might as well go on and go. And he's not being like a poor fan and upset, or he is upset by their losing. But, I mean, he's going to be in attendance on Monday's game, at Monday's game. But hey, if they got to go, they got to go. So he's not really even that upset by it. So that kind of caught me by surprise. I don't know if it caught you by surprise, but it did me. All right, now, Raider Ernie, he's in Missouri. It's been a minute since I heard from him, too. Talking about Monday's game, how it might be the final game ever in Oakland. And I think you'll hear a little emotion in his voice. Plus, he's also going to speak on John Gruden and what he may or may not do with those first-round picks.
Hey, Q, this is Ernie from Missouri, Raider Ernie. Hey, that's a couple things I just wanted to put out. Try not to ramble on too long, but if that Christmas Eve game in Oakland is the last game in Oakland, that'd be a very, very sad time for the city of Oakland. I feel for the fans. Some of the greatest times I had was there at the tailgate, Bad Boys Barbecue, outside the stadium. Being from Missouri, I had season tickets there for 2 years. Of course, I couldn't make it out to all the games, too expensive, but like I said, some of the best times I ever had. The last game I went to, I finally got to actually see him win, and it was cool to walk out the stadium chanting Raiders. But anyway, hopefully they get the situation worked out. Like you said, a little subliminal message with Gruden saying hopefully things will work out and they'll be play there next year and give the fans of Oakland one last season. Hopefully it's a good one. My other thing I just want to talk about real quick was John Gruden. He's holding a lot of collateral for this team with those draft picks. And hopefully he brings somebody in there that can help make good decisions on who to pick with those three first-round picks and all the rest of them as well. But the three first-rounders are very important. He can't have a bust on those. Hopefully he don't Gruden don't get locked on somebody that trips his trigger, kind of like Johnny Manziel back in the day when he was working the TV. I was hopefully that was all just for TV, because every time I heard about him coming back as coaching the Raiders, all I could think about is him talking about how great Johnny Manziel was and that the Raiders needed to draft him. But anyway, great show as usual, Q. I appreciate everything you do, and go Raiders.
All right, Raider Ernie in Missouri, definitely appreciate that call. That's really good stuff right there. Great stuff from my man Daryl in L.A., great stuff from Victor in Cali, and, of course, my man Mario in Tucson and everyone else who's been part of the show today. I really appreciate it. Thank you for everyone who's contributed. Thank you for everyone who's promoted the show. A lot of people hit me up on Twitter and be like, hey, so-and-so referred me to your podcast, man. I really like it, or hey, I really don't like it, or hey, you suck, and that's fine too, but I appreciate it on word of mouth, man. Just go ahead and mention it to someone, or if you're on Twitter, just go ahead and tweet it at somebody so they can see it, that you know as a Raider fan, because, you know, it is, again, we're all family. So we still have one more show before we hit the weekend. That'll be Friday's edition, but we have two more shows before the actual next game. As we all know, the Raiders play the Denver Broncos on Monday. So that should make a good conversation piece and give us plenty of time to discuss some of the things that we've been discussing. 707-654-4693. If you have something to say about PE's call, that was in segment number two, the great call from my man P.E. in North Carolina. Please do not hesitate to chime in. This is what we're here for. Thank you so much for the support. Thank you so much for the love. Raider Nation, let's stick together. Like my man Most Known Unknown in Philly said, we ain't got to divide ourselves, man. We got to stand strong in this situation, which is a terrible season. And, you know, it's a rough time now, but things will get better. I mean, hell, you can't get no worse than three wins in a season, right? Just saying. So until next time, Raider Nation, till Friday's edition, just win, baby.